Podcasting 2.0 for October 29th, 2021, episode number 60, Crossing the Line. Poet! Hello, everybody. Time to end your week. You ready for the weekend? Well, this is the perfect time to join us here in the boardroom. It's time for another meeting of the board of directors of Podcasting 2.0. Everything going on at podcastindex.org, the podcast namespace, and of course all the wackiness that is podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama. He's a natural repellent of all things rust. My friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones, everybody.
Yo. What's up? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday.
Happy podcast show day.
Yeah. Yes, it's always a happy day.
It is. I was in North Alabama all day yesterday. Had a family, had a funeral to go to, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just about to say, oh, nice party, but okay. Yeah.
So, no, it's
open
fine.
Mouth, we're... insert foot. Yes. I'm sorry.
My whole family's from North Alabama, so I got to spend a day, half a day up there. So it was, but it was good. That's my people. That's my
peeps. I was going to say, tell me about your people. What do they do? They come from a long line of Alabamians, Alabamians.
Yeah, of
Alabamites.
Course. Most of them worked for Monsanto.
I was just going to say, probably farmers or ag sector.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a little small town in North Alabama called Hartsel. It's right next to Decatur, which is kind of close to Huntsville. Huh. So there's a lot of the two industries up there are agriculture, of course, and military defense.
Right.
Because it's near Huntsville, which is a big military contractor town.
So your whole family has been exposed to glyphosate, basically?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm absolutely 100% positive. Yeah. No, they... Most of my family
is everybody
retired.
4 feet tall. Is that
yeah? Most of my family retired in some shape or form or fashion from Monsanto.
Yeah.
So okay. I think they changed their.
Oh,
they
it's, were like it's, Monsanto. It's Bayer now. It's Bayer. No, Bayer bought them.
Well, they changed their name to Solutia.
No.
At some point.
Oh yeah.
Then they changed their name back to Monsanto. I think that's how the thing goes.
Mm. So. Oh, they were doing a Blackwater, like, oh man, we got a lot of heat here. Let's change our name. It's like Meta. It's weird because people are saying that I predicted this, and I'm like, well, I
don't remember you predicting that.
And I don't know where it was. And I used to own metaverse.com.
Okay.
Which I registered, and Neil Stevenson, who wrote the book Snow Crash, he said, oh yeah, you can use it. Just, you know, don't make t-shirts. You can't make any. Yeah, you can't be making money off of the because yes,
can't do merch.
It's just can't do merch. And it was cool, you know. And this was early days. This was still this was still Mosaic days. Maybe Netscape had just happened, and so that got sold along with the company years and years ago. So I don't have that anymore. I don't know who has, but I figured it would be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Meta,
yeah.
But I don't think I called it like Meta.
And this is just a Google Alphabet play, right? I mean, nothing's really changing.
It's positioning. It's important sometimes. You know, positioning can mean a lot. And I don't know if they're going to keep... Well, Facebook will remain Facebook, I think. I don't think they'd be changing the app to Meta. This is for mm-hmm. the new rollout of whatever new, you know... everything that they're talking about to me, all I envision is a Moo or a Mud. I can't help it. It's like, oh, it's going to be so cool. It'll be this virtual world. Remember Moos and Muds?
No, I have no
idea. Oh, no.
Oh, multi-user dungeon.
Yes, yeah, multi-user okay. dungeon and massive, what was it?
Yeah, massive online multiplayer game.
Yes.
MMO.
MMO, yes.
MMOM, yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of like a text-based thing. You go in, it's like you look around. You see a lamp. It's like pick up lamp. And then all of a sudden you get zapped by some wizard in the corner whose room you've invaded. Those were fun days.
I always tell you, you're facing north. To your east is such as a door.
Yeah.
To your west is two doors.
Oh man, good times. All pre-Doom.
What was the name of that? Oh, there's a big. There's a
Lambda.
Bunch of big ones.
Lambda Moo. Wasn't it the Lambda Moo?
Oh, I don't know that one.
Yeah, I think that was the big one. That was the big. I think it was Lambda.
Zork. Was it Zork?
Oh, that might have been a little later than my time. Yeah, okay. Lambda Moo. Founded in 1990 at Xerox Park. Is the old? It's still around, apparently. Is it really?
No,
Huh. How about that? Yeah, Namu was a MUD object oriented. That's what it was. So multi-user dungeon object oriented was a Moo. Good times, man. Good times. It was so exciting. It was so exciting back in the day. It really was.
Zork was originally developed between 77 and 79 for the DEC PDP-10. By some guys at MIT. Yeah, I remember that was a buddy of mine had that on his PC Junior. Do you remember PC Junior?
Of course. Yes, of course. Well, so how about this head trip? So we're now fondly remembering MUDs and MOOs. And yesterday I buckled, although I've pie-holed the crap out of it and I might get away lucky. Bought a shark vacuum robot.
Oh, like a Roomba.
Yeah, except this shark who actually known for vacuum cleaners.
Instead of VC cap, venture capital.
Yeah, that idea.
Okay, I got you.
And you know, it's so mind-boggling what these things can do with LIDAR. The thing has LIDAR.
So you'll have to tell me if they're better now. I had one probably 6-7 years. No, it's probably 8 years ago, and it was okay. But then it was like as long as your floors were absolutely level, no obstructions, clear, no rugs. Like if anything got in its way, it was just like nope, I'm done.
Right.
I mean, are they better now?
So of course you got it for the same reason I got it, because we have white dogs, big white shedding dogs. Mm-hmm. And so we have polished concrete throughout the entire house with no, what do you call them? I know the Dutch word, Drempel. You know, where the doorway is when you go from room to room.
No threshold.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
But these new things. Okay. So first of all, very powerful vacuum cleaner. it's a good vacuum cleaner.
Like suck your face off.
In a second, in a heartbeat. It has LIDAR. So, which is a radar. It's basically like what you have on adaptive cruise control. So it has four sensors. It has two rubberized track, you know, heavy tread wheels, but it has suspension. So when it hits the carpet, when it hits the carpet, it's like a hip hop low rider, boom, and it lifts one wheel up and it'll go half and half. And I've seen this I've seen it bop over bar stool bases. I've seen it,
good grit. That's cool, man.
It's quite astounding, really.
Yeah.
How good that is. And then this one goes back to its base as it should. And then once it's in the base, then it reverses thrust, and it blows all of the dust into the container of the base. So you only have to empty the base and not the actual vacuum itself. It's very sophisticated.
That is legit, man.
Yeah. Now the problem is the Chinese have a map of my house. This is what's kind of annoying. So I've been trying to stop all this stuff. The app is the worst. The device itself is not so bad, but the companion app, oh my goodness, it's so bad. It won't even run on graphene. Graphene's like, no, threat vector.
Did you look at the pie hole to see what all it's blocking? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All kinds of crap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have it segregated on a, but you know, it's still just my IP address alone. So, they know kind of where we are and they'll know the zip code. And and obviously the company continues to ask me to register, fill out your address. Come on, who are you? Yeah, who are you?
That's so that when they send the EMP to your house, that they can give you a heads up first. They can let you know in the mail that it's coming.
Yeah, exactly.
With the hypersonic, the hypersonic missile or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of different things we need to talk about. The first thing, maybe we can get into it with this, Dave. So I know Steve, there's been a lot of work going on. You've been doing a lot of work, and we need to get an update on the latest developments. But I feel somehow it's connected to Stephen B., who posted yesterday, yep, I'm just waiting for Adam to publish No Agenda before I refresh the code. And then mm-hmm. I'm talking about the CurioCaster RSS generator, also known as the Jenny.
The Jenny. Curio Blaster.
Yep. And I'm refreshing the code right now, and I see we have a new category to fill out called social.
Ah, he did it.
Yep. So in my feed today, if I knew what I was doing and if it made any sense, I could add the following tags: interaction link, platform, platform account ID, podcast URL for this platform, priority, and interaction publication date.
Okay.
That's for this episode. You can do it for, yes, for the podcast. I think it's platform, platform account ID, platform, a podcast URL for this platform, and priority.
So let me pull up the namespace.
I have no idea what the, I mean, I know what it's for, I think. It doesn't matter. I want to fill it out. I'm excited. I want it. I well, want
you
it.
Know, you know Tom Rossi's rule. If you put a text box somewhere, you got to put something in it.
Yes, of course. I can't have empty text boxes.
Let me see. I'm trying to pull up the
Now, this is right for here. Comments?
Social. Yes. So, well, it's that was a little bit of the confusion, is that where's the social? Transcripts, value, proposal, docs. It may still be on Benjamin Bellamy's
GitHub. Oh, it's not even a thing yet? We're jumping.
It's a spec.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a proposal.
Good.
So that was a little bit of confusion there this week, was that, so Benjamin over at
Castopod,
he had created a test, sort of a test with one of his own personal podcasts, and he had put in the cross app commenting stuff. Let's see.
And it started working for Martin's special pod friend test.
Yeah, they did sort of a
round robin.
Yeah, a little thing between the two of them.
Yeah.
And what he did, but the spec for the tag, and to fill everybody in on what we're talking about, what we're talking about is cross app comments. And so you can create, let me just back up now. Let me roll this from the beginning.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So great way for me to intro. Sorry, I failed. Let's start over.
Yeah. I'm just realizing some people have no clue what we're talking about. The idea is that there will be what we're targeting is the ability for the comments that go along with a podcast episode to live with the podcaster or something that's under their control, rather than being delegated to a third party social media site. Right. So instead of saying, here's my podcast episode, I just published it, and you post that to Facebook or Twitter, and you have a bunch of replies there.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you have a social network that is ActivityPub compliant. ActivityPub being the spec we're using.
So in essence, if you're using ActivityPub and how a podcaster uses that, we'll get to, you have your own little social, you have your own little social network mechanism just for that podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. So like if you are on, let's say that you run a Mastodon instance, you run your own Mastodon, you could post on that Mastodon and then link to the post within your episode using this tag. And then when people reply, they would be replying to that post,
mm-hmm,
on either their own Mastodon or another ActivityPub compliant like Pleroma or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could set up an account on your system and reply there.
Got it.
So no matter what, the replies are under the replies, and all the moderation of all the commenting is under your control.
Right.
Then the beauty of that is not just the decentralized I keep control aspect of it. That is one of the big ones. But the other big benefit to that is that it's an open spec. So meaning in this context that when you reveal where that post is, the URI of that post location within ActivityPub endpoint, everybody else can see it, meaning everybody else, meaning apps, all the other apps can see that, and they can show the posts. So they will be able to, like, if we post this tag with a comment, with a link to sort of the root comment or the root post,
mm-hmm,
on podcastindex.social, then that will be in the feed. Now, all the apps can see that endpoint, and they can show all the comments.
Right, right, right.
Because all the comments, at least all the ones that are marked public. So, and then they will also be able to see that here's the interaction point on the Mastodon or wherever this thing is. For us, it would be podcastindex.social. They'd be able to see that URI, and then they would know how to interact with that post so that they can also add comments to it. So that's what we're talking about.
Right. And so I'm actually quite proud of everybody adhering to the agreement. It's like, hey, if there's an implementation, we go for that. And yeah. We have an implementation. I mean, people have been waiting for other things. There's Matrix is still hovering out there with Breeze, but now this, we have an end-to-end, or at least partial completion of a full proof of concept.
Yeah. And so that, well, let me see if I may have found it here. Yeah. So and this goes back to this age old thing that we've been talking about and going back and forth about, which is the difference between comments and chat.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're fundamentally different in the way that conceptually they're different. Now is this it?
So Stephen,
I'm trying to find the spec.
Yeah. So Stephen B put this in. I presume with the idea that I should fill it out and something should work for this episode. Or are we all jumping the gun here?
No. That's right. So the idea here would be that we would put in the relevant, you know, linkage here, mm-hmm, in this tag,
mm-hmm,
so that this would go live and be able to be seen. It's sort of a test.
Okay.
It's a beta.
So, okay, James Cridlin. So, when we publish this today, it'll have this information filled out. It'll be in the feed?
It should.
Okay. I have no idea what to put in there. I'll just put platform. Let me see. Facebook.
For the love of God, if I could find the spec, I would actually tell you what to put in there.
Platform account ID. I don't know. Let's just do adamatcurry.com.
Let's see. So that's one of the things that messed this up from a while ago was that, okay, circling back to the beginning of this conversation, was that when Benjamin put in these tags, He put them in as sort of the old original tag that we had developed, which was podcast in the namespace, which was podcast:comments.
Mm-hmm.
But that was changed to podcast:social. And so he just put it in there because I think it was simpler and we didn't have a fully fleshed out social spec at the time.
Okay, but this is something that we can then build on from here, that we can lock this in, mm-hmm, if it works. Yeah.
Yeah, so podcast social is the way to actually, is the proper way to do it. And that'll be what we're doing. And that's what Steven put in.
Got it.
Yeah. And so it was a little confusing because the tags didn't match.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll do that. And then, I mean, it'll be fairly uneventful to start with because
It'll only kind of show up on podcastindex.social where people can interact there, but it won't really. It'll just look like a Mastodon thread.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what the idea would be, is that
that surfaced in the app.
Mm-hmm. Is eventually this will be there and it will exist,
mm-hmm,
so that people, developers can write code against it and see what it looks like in their apps.
Yeah, right now we're broadcasting and we got no radios.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, I love that.
So, I mean, we'll give it a shot. I mean, this may totally fail, but I mean, we'll try.
But how cool is it to be able to test this on the fly?
Yeah, I mean, like, I you get it to the point with these things that I think
you just got to go.
You got to go. Yeah. So one thing that brought this to me, to a point with me was that Daniel J. Lewis spoke up on the Mastodon and said, well, you know, hey, why are we pushing live so hard when cross-app comments seems to be what more people want? And I agree and disagree at the same time.
A point of personal privilege?
Yes, recognized.
The way he actually said it was, who made that decision?
Yes, that is the exact voice that he used.
I know. I'm
because he said, hey, Siri, dictate this.
It's actually very always jarring to me when I hear him and I hear his real voice. I'm like, God, that's not the voice I have in my head when I see him post. But yeah, of course, he made a good point. And
he said, who died and put you in charge of
that's pretty much what I read. Yep.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I agree and I disagree, but why? So I laid out all the reasons why I disagreed, but then
did you do a SWOT analysis? Like,
a what?
A SWOT analysis?
What is that?
Oh, you've never done that where you draw like a cross and you do top left is S, top right is W, bottom left is O, and bottom right is T. And so you write down your, the SWOT analysis is, I forgot the acronym is. It's strengths, SWOT, I'm sorry. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And then somehow you have that box there and you get a B+.
Oh, okay.
I've never actually done it in any business making decisions, but that's what you were taught.
Is this like the Dwight Eisenhower quadrant list or what? You know that one? Where it's like stuff that's important. But not an emergency. Stuff that's an emergency. But
oh,
not
you
important.
Mean like GTD, get things done?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's taught in like early business school classes, like strength, weakness, opportunity, and threats. This is how you determine if you should go down this path.
Oh, so that's what you pay. That's what you pay $80,000 for, yes. An MBA for. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, but no, I was like, well, you know that. Oh, I found it. Hallelujah. I finally found it.
You found the spec.
But the spec, yes. So, and we can look at this. But yeah, I was like, you know, my own quirk is that I like to bring things up to a certain level of usability conceptuality, if that's a word, rather than just having them be just words on a piece of paper. So I hate having this thing that's like this really cool idea of live out here just sitting there just being some words and not actually having anything fleshed out of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring it up to sort of a minimum conceptual quality before flipping back to comments, because comments had already come so far that I knew we could kind of push it over the finish line, quote unquote finish line, fairly easily. So But that's just a quirk on my account. And he's right, ultimately, that cross-app comments does benefit more people and is probably the bigger one that everybody wants. So I'm like, well, you know, let's focus on that a bit. Let's try to get this thing done.
Well, there's your answer, Daniel J. Somebody died and made Dave King.
Yeah, yeah. Get over it.
And here we are. And here we are doing cross comments. Perfect. I'm happy with all of it.
Yeah, and so the social spec defines a few tags, a few sort of sub tags as well, and the main root element there, is podcast:social, and I'll just read it. It says this element allows a podcaster to specify one or many platforms where listeners can interact. There may be several occurrences of this tag for the same element on several platforms. So you can have, you know, you publish your episode and within that episode, that item tag as a sub tag, you have podcast social, and you could have multiple. So you could have a podcast social, pointing to Facebook, one to Twitter.
Oh, really?
One. Yes. Yeah.
And it'll create a post.
Well, the idea would be that you create the post first and then link it over here.
I see. Okay.
The platform itself should help you do that.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
Registering an app or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then, So you could have multiples, and one of the attributes in this tag is platform. So you'd have podcast colon social platform equals, and in this case for us, for this test, it would be Activity Pub.
Mm-hmm.
Platform equals Activity Pub.
All lowercase? And,
yes. Mm-hmm. So there'd be a slug list for this that holds the different ones.
Variables. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like one of them is Jabber in this preliminary spec, and we need to change that to XMPP.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's sort of the root of the root tag, and then you have a subtag underneath that, this podcast colon social sign up.
Yeah.
This element allows to make easy onboarding for listeners on social discussion platforms, especially for decentralized ones such as Matrix or ActivityPub. And so you have a home URL property, a sign up URL. So that would allow people to point you. You could point a user to where they need to go to create an account in order to leave a comment.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That's uh-huh. That's included in CurioCaster's Jenny as well. I see.
Okay. And the final sub element here is social interact. So podcast colon social interact. It says this element allows listeners to interact with an episode. And then it's a, so you have a property in there for platform again, a podcast account ID, the podcast ID on this platform, pub date, priority, and elements content. So that, let's see, let me look at the, go and look at this attribute. So social interact, I'm sorry. It looks like that's a way to pull in content. But I don't know, I'll have to check with Benjamin to see why that's necessary.
Okay. Well, this is exciting. So this shit might actually work.
Yeah, it's possible. we'll see.
I love it. This is great, man. This is great.
I see what he's doing. The interact is where you is the actual pointer. Okay, so that's what we need. What we need is it looks like we're going to need all of these. So the social root sort of top level parent element holds the actual it just sets up a context in which you're going to point for a sign up and an interaction.
Okay.
Those two things being the ones we need. So I don't know. I mean, we'll try it.
My head hurts just a little bit. I have just a little bit of twinge on the left hand, left temple.
So my biggest question with this is I'm not sure where to point. Like, I'm not sure where to point the social interact at. I'm not sure what URL to use. I think that I can pull the status I think I can just pull the status URL for the root post. And then we put that in there, and then that gives it what it needs. But I can't tell from his example because they rolled their own Activity Pub into Castapod.
Right.
So I'm not sure how that's going to translate.
Of course, it's French. They always have to do something weird. Have you ever driven a French car?
I've seen the ones that are like, they have like three wheels or something.
Oh, yes. Well, the Citroën Deux-Chevaux.
Oh, you said you used to have one of those.
I did. We've talked about that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
they do everything
this is weird too.
Three speed with a rod through the dashboard that actually, you know, was mechanically connected to the gear shift on the engine.
That's essentially what this is.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Okay.
Well, but good. I don't know. We'll try and see if it works.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I'm excited. This is very cool. All right.
I fully expect it. I expect that Stephen B. will probably have comments showing up.
Oh, by, of like, course.
You know, the end of the day.
Yeah, but he's already got it all baked in, no doubt. And he's just like, oh, big reveal. It works. Okay. Excellent. Well, you know, since we're talking about namespace, and if anyone wants to learn more about the cross comments, certainly Benjamin Bellamy, the CEO of Adadua,
I don't think that's how you pronounce.
That's how I pronounce it. That's the company that is developing Castapod. He was on Podland. Very good interview.
Oh, that was a great interview.
Yeah. And I wanted to play a clip from it because what I like the most is something that is something I always feel, and I want people to recognize it because, you know, we're such we have such a culture in general of instant gratification. You know, it's like, is it working yet? And you know, and just there's a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy, but things do take time. And podcasting 1.0, it was just kind of taking off when we got Twitter, we got Facebook, we got YouTube. YouTube was really the one that just the podcasting was still under the radar, growing at maybe 5 or 7% per year, very, very slow, until all of a sudden we had the Serial podcast, which came at, you know, these, you can't engineer these types of things, but there will be a Serial of podcasting 2.0, and it may not be a podcast, but there will be a moment when things take off. And it was fun to hear Sam. Mm-hmm. You know, basically saying, hey, you know, do you think any of this is ever going to work? I mean, it's taken forever. I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I put his question in.
There we have 10 very quick new tags for helping with discoverability. The problem, I guess, right now, Benjamin, is that most people and most clients aren't supporting all 10 or even half of these. So how do we get the industry to embrace more of these tags?
I have to say, I totally disagree with you on that one, because a year ago, none of that existed. None. There was no tag, no hosting company, no player. It's been very recent. And actually, the amount of work and the number of people and company who joined the movement is astonishing. A year ago, we joined the movement from not the very beginning, but not long after. And I wasn't dreaming of what the position that we are in today. I think it's a tremendous move forward, keeping the podcasting ecosystem open and also making it as pleasant for both the podcasters and the listeners. If you go to newpodcastapps.com, you will see all the platforms and players that are using these. And I think that there are many of them. Of course, if you are a big company, we won't expect you to embed these new tags that some of them are like 2 months old and to put them in production right away. And maybe some of them will be forgotten. Not all of them will be used. We don't know that for now, but what was accomplished here is really encouraging.
So I like a couple things. I really like that he just said, hold on a second. Look at what we've achieved. And hell yeah, hell yeah. Look at what has been achieved, everybody. Pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, totally.
And second, whenever a Frenchman talks about joining a movement, that shit's real.
Yeah,
so I love that, Benjamin. Merci beaucoup.
Yes. That I totally agree. I think I've been trying to come. We're in a phase right now, and I don't know what phase of you've got these charts out there that show you, like, you know what I'm talking about? It's like this acceptance curve, or where you have invention, adoption, acceptance. Like, I forgot all the terms, but you know what I'm talking about, I think.
I don't know. I know what you're talking about. I don't know what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever chart that we're on, there's a phase we're in that I'm not entirely sure how to describe it, but I know what it is in practice. And this is the point where we've created a lot of things, and what is going to get the adoption is not... is not really a technical issue anymore.
Correct. Correct.
It's, this is sort of the hard work phase where, look, a lot of the things that I do, on a regular basis is I have phone calls with people I talk to podcasting hosts, hosting companies that call and that set up Zoom meetings and stuff with me. For a while there, it was one a week at least. And
well, you are, after all, the pod sage.
Well, yeah, well, of course, it's natural.
So an audience with the sage is always welcome.
Yeah, they have to climb a few thousand stairs and get here, and then we talk over Zoom. But they, you know, they call and ask about the tags and about what they do and which ones they should prioritize and that kind of thing. And so that's really where this phase of things is. It's like, okay, you made a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to go and talk to a lot of people who are busy and they recognize the importance of it, but they really need it just boiled down and explained to them. And you got to go out and do some evangelism. That's what Podcast Movement was about and all these kinds of things. So that's the phase we're in right now is the technical work still goes on in the background, but we're also in sort of a social political phase where you have to just reach out and do the legwork and put in the handshake time to talk to people and get them up to speed.
With that in mind, I'd like to highlight for the board a problem that I foresee. And we have a problem with transcripts. And if we don't do something about it, we're going to fuck it up.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
In listening to a lot of the, you know, like Pod News and Pod Land and stuff that has been written, it appears that there's a lot of companies and some hosting companies, I believe, I'm not sure, but there's a lot of work being done by companies who are looking to be recommendation engines or relevancy organizations that find podcasts that are valid or you know, relevant to certain advertisers. But I think a couple of people I've been hearing about, well, we're using transcripts to find relevant stuff, whether it's for advertising, whether it's for recommendations, doesn't matter. I'm fine with all of it. But what I'm not fine with is we have everybody doing their own fucking thing. It really pisses me off. And it pissed me off the most, and I'm not in a bad way towards Fountain, but so I finally got Fountain working on my phone. It was DNS as usual, and you know, I wanted to see this really cool clipping system, so I hit transcript, and having just spoken to Oscar, I knew that it was now being processed by some other company. So, you know, I'm just seeing a spinning wheel. I'm like, well, this sucks. It could take an hour. I know how long it takes to transcribe. It was no agenda, a 3.5 hour show. I said, so it's going to take forever. And it never showed up. You know, I killed the app. I went back and it just never showed up. Now, we talked about it with him and he said the reason that they're doing their system, which I like a lot for the clipping, is they have per word time code. Which right. enables them to basically show you, you know, you just highlight the words and the system does the rest of the clipping. Brilliant. I love it. There are more people doing it. I think it's a great way to do it. But instead of them going off and doing it, you know, paying some company to do it, instead of five other companies taking the same fucking the same content and making their own transcript, I hate it. It makes me mad. And I want, you know, so first I think we need to recognize this is happening. And if someone is doing that, say, why don't you check? Because we have this tag and you may not have to do the work because there's a transcript already sitting there ready for you. And two, let's set the standard. And if we're, maybe we all agree it should be per word time code so that, you know, we can satisfy all these other great ideas and help people because it's going to be a nightmare with transcripts. I'm crying.
I'm not as worked up about it as you are. Because the people who are doing the trend, so like Oscar, he needs that.
Right. Tell me where I can get what you need and I'll just publish it that way. Instead of him paying money to have that done and people waiting around with a transcript, I want to provide that to you.
But the other people who are doing like rolling their own transcript engine things, they're all the big ones that are going to, they got not invented here syndrome anyway. They're never going
to. But that's fine. But I still want to make the plea.
Okay.
I mean, is that, well, I mean, is that, yeah, so, I mean, wrong?
It sounds like what you're pleading for is the best sort of the, not the least common denominator, the greatest common denominator, if that's the right way to say it, is like, okay, if whatever is the most specific thing out there that someone could possibly need, that's the thing we need to do in order to meet the most people's needs across the board.
You know, you're right. I think now that I consider it, I believe I get angry for a different reason. I get angry because I hear interviews with people who are doing things with transcripts and no one is saying, hey, did you know they already exist? And it's people who know this. And so maybe that's where my frustration comes from. It's like, oh God, you're reinventing the wheel. I have a transcript right here. You can ingest it. It's good to go.
These
aren't the big companies, all of them. They're doing commercial stuff.
I know what you're saying. And so they're doing commercial stuff, but I do wonder though, see there again, there's ulterior motives there. Nah, that's not the right way to say it. That's not the right phrase. There's other things driving that besides expediency. So here's a good example. For one, Podchaser.
Mm-hmm.
Podchaser, we create the people tag. We created it. It meets exactly the needs that they have. They are a people discovery attribution engine.
Mm-hmm. Let me get okay. And so they have their own thing.
Well, they don't ingest the people tag. And the person tag. I've asked about. I talked to him at Podcast Movement and that kind of thing. And I mean, they know about it. They were there and helped create it. I mean, they were part of the creation of the person tag. But they don't use it.
Is there any technical reason why they wouldn't use that?
Well, they don't, you know, they don't create, they would just be an ingestion point. And so they don't ingest it. And that's what I was talking to Cole about. I was like, well, you know, this is perfect for you to take. And he said, well, you know, ultimately we're going to have to vet it anyway. So we're going to have to go through there and make sure that we got to put it all through our Mechanical Turk anyway to make sure that it's legit and that it's formatted the way we want it and all this kind of stuff and match it up with everybody else. Because if it's free form and somebody puts in, you know, Adam Curry, is that the same as Adam C. Curry and all this kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, you know, okay, well, that's fine. But I mean, they've got, I feel like even the small players have these motives, a lot of it driven by, let's just say, the pressures of VC money to show that they're, you know, building all these cool new things. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's not all just,
That's not exactly how it works. Having raised and spent VC money, that's not really true. Feel pressured to show all these cool new things. No. They don't care. No. There's pressure, but it's not like that.
Okay.
It's ignorance. Yeah. It's ignorance and it's rude. So I condemn thee.
Discondemned. I mean, I'm always going to back you up with condemnation.
I know.
I'm there with you.
I know you are. I appreciate
whatever
it.
You just condemned. I condemn it too.
Good. Okay. Well, anyway, I certainly would like to have Fountain be a better experience. And so if someone could tell me, is there a problem if I start doing per word time codes? Is that a problem for everybody else's app? Likely. So let's get some feedback on that. Just the idea of using that as a standard, I find compelling because it really the clipping concept is dramatically improved.
I'm going to look at our feed right now. I wonder, we don't have per word. Is that right?
No, we don't. We have per two sentences.
Well, I mean, I think you can have per word in the same SRT format that you do, with whatever we have now.
Right. But that may mean that in Podfriend, for instance, it may show up word for word instead of sentence above, sentence below, and then the next two sentences. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay. So then I need to have so I'm using otter.ai and they don't do per word. So I need someone to tell me where I can find out where to do that.
Yeah.
Because it's just so much cooler. Mitch may want to consider that for Podverse, that idea, that basic concept. He's got the clipping system for Podverse is phenomenal. You know, we've got Phoneboy doing no agenda quotes, which he's been doing for years and years and years. And so now every no agenda quote that he posts, which is typically No Agenda Social and Twitter and God knows where else, that also includes a Podverse clip. I mean, it's dynamite. I love it.
Okay, I'm looking at the transcript here. It looks like it's like sentence by sentence, roughly.
Yeah.
Ish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they look like they're in chunks.
Anyway, tags don't get implemented if people don't remind people that they exist.
Yeah, it looks like 5 or 6 second chunks. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody can tell us where a per word thing is, I mean, we can put that.
Yeah,
we can amend the spec and modify it to say, you know, hey, just a blurb like recommended. It's strongly recommended to use per word timestamps.
And you know, I can imagine Comic Strip Blogger digging per word timestamps and his AI wookie wookie stuff.
Is that what it's called?
It is. Yes, you didn't know that.
No,
yeah, that's part of machine learning, the Wookiee Wookiee.
Yeah, you know, I've actually done a lot of code this week.
I know.
We haven't
been cuddling as much as usual.
No, we haven't. We need to Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
So. The one thing that I've been working on is, and this is sort of related to another issue, is BoosterGram surfacing.
Mm-hmm.
This is another
Umbral app. Is that what you're going to talk about?
Yeah, right.
Cool.
And the reason it came to mind is that we have, it sort of fits this whole concept of having being in sort of a phase where you just have to push through a bunch of stuff. The invention phase is easy and
thanks.
Fun. Yeah. And then but then you get to this next phase where it's like, now you just got to do it all.
Mm-hmm. This, by the way, is where most commercial businesses fail. Implementation, execution.
Yeah. Totally agree. Yeah. And so the BoosterGram stuff, we got, you know, the issues are starting to surface. Like, where do I find these things?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're on Satoshi Stream, it'll pump them out for you. But what if you're not on Satoshi Stream? What if you're on your own node? And you would think, in the logic of open source tech, that when you have your own node, it would be easier to see these things. But that's not the case here. It's actually harder. way harder. It's hidden deep within the system.
Well, you'd also think that of the many different node management tools that exist, some of which are quite popular, that, and I know there's rumors that ThunderHub might be incorporating this, but hello, there's such an obvious audience ready for your product.
Yeah. I mean, you would think that would be a sort of higher on the priority list, but so, I mean, bottom line is we need to start surfacing these things. Yeah. And John Chizzy wrote some code. I've written some code. Alice Gates has written some code. None of it is anything what you would call easy. It all requires just some pre-existing familiarity with how all of this works.
Yeah, you got to bake macaroons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to SSH in, and you just got to get in the guts, man. So, what is a good start, since a lot of people are on Umbral is to create an Umbral app.
Yes, I'm very excited. I have not yet received my Umbral all-in-one box, so I'm super excited about it because I think this has a big future.
What's the lead time on that? When do you think you're going
to
do it?
30 days. It's 30 days.
Okay. Yeah. You bought the pre-made.
Yeah, and I did that with my Raspi Blitz. You know, for the security conscious, that's, of course, not a good idea. Mm-hmm. I believe they include the chain, or at least the recent copy of the blockchain. So that's really why
it's already synced.
I believe so. Yeah, it's like, just give me that, and I don't have to sync for 18 days. But first of all, it's a sexy looking box. I've tried to install Umbral on a Linux Mint on a laptop, which failed. And I'm sure that's all the Docker stuff. So I was like, I'm going to install Ubuntu, and I know that'll work. And I said, screw it, I'll order that box. But I'm very enamored with the app concept. You know, this is so, I mean, you're bringing in a Lightning node, but you're sneaking in all kinds of cool stuff that are for your home.
Yeah, it sets you up to be decentralized in like 100 different ways.
Yeah, and it's really cool. It's very exciting. This is the kind of box that we always. It's in a way, it's an Nextcloud. By the way, Nextcloud should have a node built into it. You know, it's like, or maybe even cPanel. I don't know, but there's all these different platforms that are, you know, that you can run yourself, where it makes so much sense to have this type of application built into it.
What size drive does it come? Hard drive does it come with?
Either 1 or 2 terabyte.
Okay.
So yeah, I got the 2 terabyte, you know, planning for the future of the blockchain.
Totally. Yeah, that's what I would get to. That you never go wrong splurging on hard drive space. No. It's like, no. That's never a mistake. So I started doing the basic work on it, the preliminary work on it yesterday. Before I left. I like it. I like the app structure. It's called the Umbral App Framework. And it's just essentially you're creating a Docker container with your code running inside of it. And you create it according to their guidelines. And then they have, as part of they give you some examples. Okay, here's what your Docker file needs to look like in order to build the image. And then, here's what your Docker config needs to be, your YAML file. And within within that YAML file, you can say, okay, I want to expose these things to my Docker container. And it has a whole list of commented out things, and you uncomment out the environment variables that you want to pass through to your container.
That's like a template that you just get, mm-hmm. you put in there and just uncomment whatever you want.
Yeah, and so you say, okay, here's my code's going to run on my container will run on this port. It'll listen on this port, and it's going to have this name in the Umbral app registry, and it's going to.
This thing should have an activity pub.
Well, I mean, that could be another thing,
right?
Yeah, totally. You could run a little activity pub, you know, server on there to handle comments. But I mean, like the structure of it is really cool, and you say, okay, well, my app is going to need to talk to LND. And so you uncomment out the LND environment variables so that your app can see where LND is. Or, well, my app needs to talk to the Bitcoin core node. And so you uncomment those. And then it passes through. Okay. Here's the port that Bitcoin D is running on. Here's the path it's located at. And so your app gets all the exposure to that.
You know, all of this stuff that we're doing, the it's all so advanced, so sophisticated, so good, and because it's not centralized by nature, which is what in two generations have grown up on. That, you know, I just see it over and over again. It's like, oh well, you know, there's work, there's SSH, all this stuff that has to be done. People are just gonna have to learn. Seriously. And I think the world in general is going to be happy learning about a lot of new stuff, because the way I see it, you know, you're going to have to learn to bake bread again, because there ain't going to be no bread this winter. No, there's no bread. Yeah. It's going to be weird things, not everything. Hey, you know what? Your kid's going to have to go in a cloth diaper. And guess what? You're going to have to learn how to wash it. Oh, and guess what? You're not going to have detergent. So we're going to have to learn things again. I think that, you know, we should, what I'm saying, I think, is we shouldn't be too hung up on how difficult it is, because I remember how people would twist themselves in knots just to get their MP3 file on their, on their early, you know, like the Rio early MP3 player.
The Rio.
How podcasters, I mean, we still, 18 years, do we have an all-in-one podcast box that actually does it all? No, not really. But man, people were doing all kinds of stuff for over a decade. How do I get this to work? How do I make it sound? And somehow they figured it out.
Yeah. And I can see the things, something like the Umbral becoming the all-in-one podcaster box.
I think it's a media box. I mean, it's much more than that. Yeah. It should have it. And why, you know, depending on the size of your, yes, I totally agree. That's why I love the sexiness of their device. You know, that is something people will be, man, it took me half a day to set up the stupid vacuum cleaner. Seriously, yeah. There's all kinds of crap that goes wrong.
Oh, that's my issue, is that we act like everything else is easy. Oh God.
Hell, I mean, no.
It's just hard in a different way.
Hell no. Yeah. Every single thing that we've installed has had some kind of issue. It's always a problem. It's just what it is.
Can't you see an Umbral? Can't you see an Umbral that has, because it's at the base, it's at its base, it's a node. Then you have a set of apps on there that you can install where you throw on a Boostergram app, you throw on a Freedom Controller to get your show notes, you throw on,
an
activity pub.
Bigger than that. And for the home, you throw on Mycroft, so you got your own version of Alexa. Yeah. Seriously, all of this stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Maybe even Nextcloud. I don't know if I'm kind of go back and forth on that, but, you know, I use Nextcloud, and oh my God, it's a revolution.
Or an Icecast server for a live
stream. Icecast server. Yep. The IPFS. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I see it more and more. People send me a link. Oh, that's my Nextcloud. Okay. You know, for file sharing, it's got, chat, although there's plenty of other chat. And in a way, you have to be careful of that. But I like this so much more because, you know, we've been looking at, everyone's been talking about Facebook. And, you know, and Facebook, like Oscar said, you know, Facebook wants to be the internet. You know, hey, don't worry about it. We got social networking. We got newsletters. We got video. We got news groups. We got news. We got, you know, all this stuff. And you're never going to get the best of breed. You can buy some of the best of breed, but you can't buy all the best forever. So Umbral is kind of like I hate to say it, but like a Facebook type device. But you can choose which things you like. You know, eventually your mail server, you might want to have it on there. I mean, all these different things.
That's what people like about things like the Synology box, is that they can put on and off whatever they want and just enable. I think John Chizzy's a big fan of the Synology. I think you should get, John, if you're listening, I think you should get an Umbral, because you would dig this so much. I think all the, yeah, I mean, this stuff gets driven from techie people. That's where all this stuff gets born at. So, you know, as long as you have people out there that know what they're doing, that can evangelize things.
Check it out. Brett Weinstein built a Raspberry Pi node. He's a bit nerdy, and, you know, most professor types, you know, they all have to do Unix pretty quickly, and they have to be able to do some basic level programming. And I've seen a million times. So he put together an Umbral.
Some Fortran.
Yeah, I don't think he's old enough. So he put together an Umbral on a Raspberry Pi, and he had a really cool enclosure, and he kind of looked at it as an art piece. And what he liked about it is that he had a Bitcoin wallet, so he could exchange and store Bitcoin. He didn't even know what Lightning was.
That is hilarious.
I said, dude, click on this. Oh, okay, I see this app. Oh, that's interesting. I said, now watch. I boost him. Oh, I see Satoshi's coming in. How does that work? So when you can have, that's what an app store does, you know, it's like, oh, we'll just install this by clickety click, and then it installs, and then over the phone. And I was actually texting, didn't even speak with him. And maybe one screenshot to show him where I thought the button would be located. And that was it. And he didn't even know that this capability was in the box that he had in his home already.
That just cracks me up that he already was ready to go with podcasting 2.0 and didn't even know it.
Didn't even know it. Yeah.
Like he accidentally became value for value compliant.
Yes. He stumbled into value for value. He did. Yeah. I still don't think he actually understands or knows, but he just sees the Satoshis. He's good. So that's fine. And speaking of which, I realized today, everybody who is doing value for value, you've got to admit, certainly with Boostagrams, has there ever been a more fun way to monetize your podcast?
Yeah, I was listening to Podland yesterday, and they with the comments and everything, they're just cracking up. It's just fun. It's fun. Yeah.
And you're monetizing it the same, if you just want to use that dirty word.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you just have to say, hold on a second, you know, this is working. What did we talk about in the last episode? A million Satoshis a day running through podcasting 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. Wow. Wow.
That's a lot. I've got a jingle candidate. I've got a couple of jingle candidates.
Oh, okay. Very good. What do we have?
Speaking of, there's one that's, there's two. There's Jingle Boost and Jingle Yes Boost. You want to give them a shot and see what you like?
Okay. Let's try Boost.
Boost.
And
Yes Boost.
Oh, I like that one. Who was that? RuPaul?
Yes.
No. Boost. I'm not going to reveal where that came from because I've got more. Okay. I've got another one. I've got,
All right.
Let's see. There's one ISO cop a boost.
I'm trying to like cop a boost while I'm getting lunch.
Wow.
It's a little long.
What TV are you watching?
this is one for, okay. This is a little long, but this is definitely something for, I think this is a no agenda worthy here. You can give this as ISO, not what I thought it was going to be.
That's not what I thought it was going to be at all. Ew.
It's a little long, but it's funny.
No,
I like it.
Anyway, no, I can't reveal my secrets. I've got my treasure trove that I go back to all the time.
I put the link in the show notes to the Boost Bait GitHub, which has expanded quite nicely, I might add.
Boost Bait.
Yeah, people are putting their own jingles in there. That's fun. I love it. It's very cool.
You want to thank people, and then we can come back and do
something else. For sure. Pay attention. This is how it's done. If you want to even start a project like Podcasting 2.0, here's what you do. You ask people to support you. Say, hey, do you like what this is? Do you like what we're doing? Does it enrich your life in any way? I'm William Devane. I buy my gold from Roslyn Capital. Sorry, what just happened there?
That was really natural. You went right into that.
Yeah, see, if you can pitch gold, you can pitch value for value. It's very easy.
Or magnetic bracelets.
Yes,
or whatever.
Yes, mood rings. So the concept here is that this will only work if it's of value to anybody. And how do we know? Well, because you return the value in a monetary way. By the way, it can be the time, talent, or treasure. It doesn't have to be money all the time. In fact, it shouldn't be. If you can complete the trifecta, it's even better. And that way we can keep the servers running. We can have a little bit of growth. We can keep the node funded, which is really good. You know, we're on the list. What are we at? In the 300s, but we're on the list. We're on the boss list.
We're like 250.
Oh, really? We're up at, that's up, right? We're the bullet.
Yeah, we're like 256, I think.
Really? Oh, considering we don't have the most money, we have maybe very little money compared to some of these super nodes.
Lightning Labs Terminal Web, I think is what it's called, right?
Yes.
It's the Lightning Labs Terminal Web. Let's see what we are.
Facebook is the actual Terminal Web, but okay.
That's for sure. Podcast Index. No, I'm sorry. We're 520. I just transposed the number. Not 250. We're 520.
Okay. I went flaccid there. Oops. All right.
Well, I mean...
We're still on the list.
There's like 28,000 nodes. We're doing pretty good.
Yeah, and that's really for accessibility, balance, and throughput. But again, we're certainly by no means the biggest node in the business. What do we have? Like 27 million sats in there?
26? Yeah, roughly.
Yeah.
Getting close to 28, I think. Yeah. It says our centrality is 93rd percentile. That sounds good. Sounds impressive. I don't know what it means.
I'll take it. Can I get that on a t-shirt?
Yeah. Let me get an amen.
So we gladly accept your streaming value for value Satoshis or your boosts and or boostagrams, which you can do with any of these, with most of the cool apps at newpodcastapps.com. If you're still in the old school way, even on one of those new apps, by the way, you can tap on the funding icon, which is typically a piggy bank or a little dollar sign or maybe a PayPal, and that'll open up our page for PayPal, which you can also find at podcastindex.org, down at the bottom, red button, donate. And, you know, again, just give us the value that you're getting out of it. It may be the enjoyment of podcasts. You may be a podcaster excited about what's happening. You may be a developer. You may just be someone who likes listening to a bunch of nudnooks come up with shit. If it's anything that has any entertaining value, let us know.
That's not to be underestimated. I remember as a probably a 17-year-old, I would go to the bookstore and buy Dr. Dobbs Journal. Do you remember that?
Of course.
Magazine.
Yeah.
And I would buy, Microsoft used to have a magazine. It was like Visual Basic Monthly or something like that.
See, I just used to buy books. I'd just be like, oh, there's a new O'Reilly book. What's the animal going to be?
And I would read through it cover to cover and have absolutely no idea what any of the code examples were. I didn't understand any of it.
Did it come with a CD?
Oh, yes.
I love the books that came with a CD-ROM. That was so cool. Yeah.
With source code?
Yeah, sure. Examples, fun projects.
We've got Dreb Scott coming in, first of all, with a PayPal donation of $60. And he says, from Dreb, happy 60 episodes, go podcasting.
Aw, thank you, Dreb, for remembering.
Go podcasting!
You shouldn't have.
We finally fixed his notage, I believe. He's receiving sats again.
I'm trying to get, I have not switched anything, I think, except podcasting 2.0 because,
he had a 500 sat limit. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay.
And I messaged Tim to get that lifted. And so I haven't heard back yet. So I'm going to finish that as soon as I hear from Tim.
Okay. And, but I still published the feed with it all in there, right? You didn't change any of that.
I haven't gone back and changed the older episodes is what I'm talking about.
Ah, okay.
So I'll put those, I'll do all that. Like I'll do the full feed refresh with the old episodes and all that stuff as soon as I hear from Tim.
Okay. And you also have to do it for No Agenda and MoFax.
Yeah. I got that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's see who we got. Sir Spencer. Sir Spencer came in with 1,337 sats. That's elite boost.
Yes. Very elite. Love that.
Through CurioCaster, and he says, elite boost. We can indeed make some routing fees from our ring of fire. Since we are podcasters and focused more on micropayments, I recommend we aim for zero base fee and a higher relative PPM fee to encourage incentivized micropayments to be routed. Abel Kirby and I will be discussing this today on Ablecraft. Thank you for your courage.
Oh, very nice. Hold on a second.
Boost! To a podcast ring of fire. I went down, and flames went higher. And it burns, a ring of fire, podcast ring of fire.
Boostagram.
Podcast ring of fire. Ring of fire.
10,000 sats from Abel Kirby, speaking of.
Wow, thanks. Nice.
Through CurioCaster, and he says, we picked a release date for the Ablecraft album. We're launching Christmas Eve.
Ah, nice. Excellent. Can't wait for that. Yeah, that'll be very fun because they have their value block split amongst the band members.
Oh, yeah. That's the I like the Christmas Eve drop, too. That's a good
one. Oh, yeah.
10,000 sats from Anonymous through Breeze. And she says, two for ones, sats, free hypothecation, the opposite of rehypothecation in fiat clown world. I have no idea what those were. What does rehypothecation mean?
Oh my God. Rehypothecation is how eventually people are able to short Bitcoin. And how that exactly works is I can't explain it.
Okay.
Well, stay away from it, is what I would say. Okay. And if anyone's trying to rehypothecate you, just walk away.
Let's see. We got Harv Hat. Send us some ducks, a duck boost, 2222. And he says, podcasting 2.0 is connecting the social angle. All right.
All right. I'm sorry. I agree. I'm sorry we are.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Sorry. Didn't mean to connect anything.
Let's see. Another anonymous through pod friend for 500 Nate Sass. And it just says, boost me, bitch.
Okay. Oh, well, there was a jingle that said boost me, bitch, but it wasn't very good. So I didn't grab it, but we'll do this.
Boost!
Over there at the Boostagram bait GitHub.
Who we got here? Anonymous through Breeze for 500 sats, and it just says love.
Aw.
I love you too.
Thank you. Mean it.
Anonymous again through Breeze, 1,000 sats. He says, thanks for the show. You're welcome.
Boost.
Oh, a lot of 1,000 sat boost today. This is from you. 1,000 sats boosting for Dreb from CurioCast. Okay.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you.
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
Dreb wanted that boost. He got it.
Boostagram for 2,376 sats from Aerostatica through Fountain. He says, Boostagrams to the moon.
Yes.
Boost. Thank you, Aerostatica, the progenitor of the word boostagram. Oh, let's see here. Kyron sent us 1,901 sats, Kyron down from Mere Mortals through CurioCaster. And he says, this is an Aussie Commonwealth boost. I actually had a strategic question for the two of you.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready for the strategic
question? Yeah, I'm very ready for that.
Okay.
It is, after all, the boardroom. Where strategy is born.
It is the correct place for a strategic question.
Yes, correct.
I actually had a strategic question for the two of you. Do you emphasize certain parts of the podcasting 2.0 depending on the person you're talking with, i.e., what message do you convey to a fellow podcaster, family member, journalist, friend, work colleague, etc., etc.? When people ask me what I'm up to, I want to get to the juicy meat of 2.0 without overloading them with too much info, wondering what you find works best.
Wow. You want to kick it off?
Yes, I do tailor them my sort of what I target to the audience. No, so I'm going to be doing a, and I'll give you an example. I'm going to be doing a workshop for women in Bitcoin in January through a group called Desfems magazine. It's like a Bitcoin female oriented Bitcoin online magazine, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked to the lady that leads it up, Lee Kuen, the other day, and we just had sort of a preliminary thing. So I know that it's going to be Bitcoin focused, and I know that they're not really going to care about something like chapters. And we've only got an hour for the workshop. So when I do the workshop, I'm definitely going to be focusing on nothing but value for value and how that works and how to get set up. And so, but if I was talking to somebody like a hosting company, I'm probably not even going to bring up value for value, because really the focus there is going to be new app experiences like chapters and transcripts and such. But yeah, I definitely, and then there's the question of when you're at Thanksgiving dinner and your family asks you what this new side project is you're doing, you probably try to hit a high level and don't even get specific on any of it. So yeah, that's the way I do it. I definitely target things.
Yeah, I would agree. The knowing your audience and what will benefit the person who you're informing. You know, if it's someone like you say, like, so what do you do? This happens with me a lot. So what do you do? And with that, I'm probably going to say, I just married Tina for money and, you know, just leave it at
and
that.
And that's true.
Yeah. Well, this is true. Yes. So there's, you know, but it depends on level of technical skill. Like I'm doing the Bitcoin sessions today at 6 o'clock Eastern, which is, I think the title of this
Ben.
Is. Yeah. Why are we bullish? So obviously that's going to be a sophisticated Bitcoin audience. So I'll focus pretty much primarily on value for value, and value for value for me is really the concept I probably talk about most as it pertains to podcasting 2.0 with most people. But if it's purely so someone who just wants to know, what's different, you know, I show them. I say, oh, look, we have chapters, and I show them different things. Depends on the audience. It really does. depends on the audience. So of course, yeah, of course you tailor that. But you can never hit it all for one person. They're just not going to be that interested.
I think
you know what podcasting is? Yeah, I know. It's better.
It's better. Yeah. I think a good example of that is Sam Sethi. I think he interviews a lot of people. I think he's a good interviewer. And he very much brings up, he almost always brings up a podcasting 2.0 tag. Now look, I mean, the example of that is when he interviewed Genevieve Hassan from about 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and she was talking about monetization and how she had gotten onto the Virgin yes. Airlines thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he asked her, he's like, okay, well, have you heard of the value for value tag? I mean, have you heard of this, you know, Lightning streaming payments and stuff? And so, like, that's an example of somebody tailoring their message to a specific, you know, to each specific person they're talking to. I mean, I think you have to. Yeah.
And just for me personally, again, I'll just say it again. I think value for value as a concept, not just the implementation that we've done in podcasting 2.0 for media, is something for me is the real end goal. That's what turns me on. It's like, look at people giving back value voluntarily. You know, and the reasons behind it and how people do it. It fascinates me. I'm up for days looking at why people do certain things in numerology, what makes them interested in it. You know, and I find a lot more interesting than looking at download statistics and CPM.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, what am I doing with the actual content that I'm creating that will give someone so much value that it motivates them to actually jump through hoops to send that value back?
Do you want your audience to be a stat on an Excel spreadsheet, or do you want to be reading their messages that they send to you on your show? I know which one I want.
Yeah. I want them lying at my feet worshiping me.
Well, that's a different show. I mean, you can do that. We can make that happen.
But that's see, Kyron, you're exactly right. You're exactly what you said there. Right on.
Kyron brought in another 1,123 sats, and he says, through PodFriend, he says, would I be able to get my name written on the list for coming up with the nickname PodSage for Dave? I first boostergrammed that to a Podland month or so ago. Sorry, James. Pod Bro was awful. Yes.
Yes. And I think Dave, you should tattoo his name on your arm.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you know when that happens, Kyron. Okay. Oscar Mary, a bunch of ducks here. 22,222 sats.
Wow. Thank you.
Through Fountain. He says, thanks for having me on. Let's get the Lightning charity fund filled up. Boost.
Yes. Well, yes.
Boost!
We did put a split in for the Lightning Podcast Charity Fund, and mm-hmm. I was planning on leaving it in for today's show. So that that those Satoshis are going to this node that you gave us. So hopefully you'll be able to use that to pre-fill some wallets.
Let's watch it happen. Let's watch the magic.
Yep.
This looks like a typo. I don't
and it's, know. And it's very cool if you boost or boostagram, you'll see in the split, you'll see Lightning Podcast Charity Fund. it's just so cute cool. to see that. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Vila, I think this is Vila from the Podcast and Social, but I'm not sure because it's VIL-LE, so I don't know. Maybe a typo.
Mm.
PodFriend, it says, just testing, go podcasting. Well, 1,000 sats. Well, we read them all. So.
Go podcasting!
Even the test. We even read stuff from ourselves.
It's the best part.
Yeah. Aerostatica sent us another 2,376 sats, and he says, I also subscribe to the Fountain app premium. These guys are doing a great job. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great having Oscar on the show.
Yeah, it was a good interview. 33,333 sats from our buddy Martin at PodFriend.
33,000.
Mm-hmm. He says, hello, here's a donation of 33,333 sats because you're awesome.
Ah, thanks, Martin.
This also works as a test to see if the total amount is sent along with the boost.
Yes, it is. Good work. Yeah, I saw Breeze is almost done with their episode level split.
Yeah, it looked like I'm in the GitHub. Breeze dev group.
Yeah.
And they put it in place and then it broke some other stuff. And
cool.
So they had to go back and fix it.
Cool. I love that.
He got it working and Roy's like, yeah, it works great. But none of my episodes are up refreshing now.
Okay. Oh, well.
So I think they're in the home stretch of it. See, Sir Pete gave us 5,000 sats and he says, here's an Oscar 360 boost.
Ooh,
like boost.
Oscar 360.
That was I still funny. Don't know what 360 means. Bree, anonymous 1,000 sats through Breeze. And it's just, it says AU is the whole message.
All right.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Maybe that's Auburn Citadel. I don't know. Let's see. And John SBRT sent us 4,900 sats and he says, cheers. And that was through Fountain.
Right. Cheers to you. Thank you very much.
Cheers to you, John. That's our boostergrams, and we got some monthly donors here. We got Jordan Dunville, $10. Stu Coates, $6.66. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Leslie Martin, $2. Jeff Miller, $20. Dreb Scott, $15. Thank you, Dreb. You're killing it, bro.
Yeah, big time.
Terry Keller, $4.11. Pedro Goncalves, $5. And Aaron Renault, $5. I'm going to put in the area of non-monetary time instead of treasure, or talent instead of treasure, I'm going to put in Ryan Hirsch here because he has done a lot of work on party time.
Right. He did all the party time work. Thank you very much, Ryan. And thank you to these monthly donors because, you know, what I'm seeing here, just back of the napkin, I'm seeing that we're receiving... the monthlies are important because that's money that these are higher amounts for us, which is great for keep the servers running. Mm-hmm. But we have less people sending us fiat fun coupons, but more people streaming and boosting. Even though the total fiat amount is lower, it warms my heart.
Yeah, it warms my heart.
It really does. And, you know, consider putting your streaming at 100 sats a minute. That's a default. I think that might be a CurioCaster default. And, you know, I realized like, hey, you know, damn, I'm filling up this wallet every single week. And I'm like, well, how much is it really?
And it's not much.
No, it's not much. It's not. But I feel good about it.
Me too. You know, I was listening to Brett Weinstein.
Because, you know, I do 5 boostergrams and I got to refill, you know.
Yeah, I was listening to Brett Weinstein's podcast today. His latest episode is really good. Yeah, I was listening to that.
Was Heather on the show?
Yes, it's a lot. Yes, but it was good. She did it. She's talking about this book, and it's a good episode. I don't listen to that show a lot, but every now and then they'll have one that hits it out of the park.
Oh yeah, so, and by the way, I think Heather actually is quite sexy with that. Oh yeah, that breathy voice.
Well, I'm going to take your word for it because imitating it is not.
It's not sexy.
No. No.
Okay, Dave. Hey, I make the jokes around here. All right.
Okay. That's it. That's our group.
Thank you all so much. Well, I think we had a pretty good lead into explaining how it works, but that's it. And my wife was a nonprofit communications professional, C-suite level for many, many years. Semi-retired now, and she will tell you, if you're a podcaster, just like any nonprofit, the number one reason people do not donate is because they weren't asked. And it's...
Gotta ask.
Yeah, you gotta ask. And this boostergram thing is just, man, that's taking it to such another level. You know, I was going to say something, but I'm planning even on another show just because I want to be able to do even more with boostergrams and stuff.
Well,
I need another podcast in my life, you see.
Yeah, you do. Like you need another dog in your life.
It's a creative outlet. There's some, you know, I love doing it so much. It's not me podcasting, it's the people. You know, yeah. I love talking with you. I love talking with Mo. I love talking with John, still kind of.
On a MoFax tangent, y'all. I'm glad that y'all have been doing more shows lately. It's good to.
We're on a schedule, man. Yeah, we're on a schedule. It's we finally figured it out.
Oh, great!
And I'm very proud of Mo because he is really really killing it. And we finally figured out what was, there was a whole bunch of reasons why we weren't hitting a schedule. And I say, man, we're breaking my number one rule here. And we also went off a little bit on the format. And we just corrected it. And it's so happy. I think the shows that we're doing now are some of the best work ever. This last one we did about, the parallels between COVID and AIDS crisis and how that impacts the so-called black community. And I say so-called because that's what Mo says, is phenomenal. And people are boosting and people are, I mean, we have a wallet for the show.
Yeah, how's that doing?
It's doing okay. It's doing okay. Yeah. And you know,
do y'all read out boostergrams on there?
No, because I don't have any boostergram software.
Ooh, I'm waiting. I feel like that's somebody's problem that I know, and it might be mine.
What do you mean?
Like, I feel like I've neglected to set you guys up with the proper software to get that done with.
Yeah, but you know, it's like I know when to ask for stuff. Yeah, and tax time was not the right time.
How is that set up? By the way, is it set up like what node does that go into?
Oh, it's actually my old Voltage node. Because at first we had a split, and it was going into, you know, Mo had a Sphinx node. Well, we know how that typically ends.
Yeah, that failed. Yeah,
and he, you know, he's like, yeah, just set it up and just, I just want it stored and leave it. So we're not going to spend that. I said, okay, good. And that's it. And so it's all that needs is the code to access the GPRC, whatever thing, macaroon baking systemology, lightning, greased lightning.
Okay. So when you get your umbral.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to say. I'll wait for the umbral. Yeah, of course. No, it's okay. It's all right. But we do value for value. That show has been value for value for day one. And, you know, it's been phenomenal. This is why I love this shit. This is why I do it for talking with people.
You want to hit, one more namespace thing before we get out of here?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's been too long. I think we need a, hot namespace talk.
Okay.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
Thank you, Dave.
You were on top of that like white on rice, baby. What? Where did that? I thought you were going to have to find that.
Oh, I have to go find it? No, Dave. No. You're working with a legend here, okay?
You caught me off guard by how fast that was. Dang, man.
And there was still a tenth of a second delay from clean feed.
You're a radio professional.
Thank you very much. I'm a pronosticator.
It's the podcast GUID tag. So red circle.
Ah, yes. I have one. I have one. I saw it. It's in CurioCaster. It shows my podcast GUID.
Yeah, like red circle evidently implemented the podcast GUID tag. I haven't talked to them. They haven't made contact with any of us that I know of.
And they're doing it in the way we're doing it, the same way?
Yeah, I mean, like they've implemented it across their whole portfolio.
Cool.
All of a sudden, John Spurlock just started. He posted the other, you know, yesterday and said, "Hey, I'm seeing Red Circle podcasts feeds that now have the podcast GUID tag in there." He's like, "Is that new?"
Huh.
And evidently, it is. So that's Red Circle, Buzzsprout, and Castos that have all implemented GUID.
God bless those guys, man. All of them.
Yeah, and I think it's probably time to pull the trigger on doing some cool stuff with GUID. And I think one of the first things we need to do is is go back and look at fast follows.
Yeah.
So that we can have a universal way to do following regardless of if the feed changes. And so the idea here is, now, I know we already have a fast follow sort of format that is less than ideal, but it was, you know, we came up with it as a group pretty quick. But what really needs to be, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion.
Well, excuse me, you are the pod sage.
Well, I mean, I don't want to play that card all the time. I got to leave.
You got to leave some juice for later.
Yeah, yeah, I got to leave some juice. Is that I feel like, so I already bought the domain fastfollow.org.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it for a while. So I think what needs to happen is that we have a way to do fastfollow.org domains with the GUID attached. So that, and then what'll happen is I'll create a Cloudflare, what's called a Cloudflare worker,
mm-hmm,
that will resolve the GUID when somebody hits, that domain, it'll resolve the
GUID. It'll return the URL. Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
That's seamless, doesn't require any servers, and we can serve tons of those fairly easily, I believe.
Yeah, I like it.
So the only thing that is missing, though, is where this falls down is Apple, because they do not have a way to set a default podcast app. So you can't say, if you had a feed URL, something like podcast:// yeah, and a GUID,
yeah,
you can't use that on Apple's platforms because they don't have a protocol scheme handler registered to go to a default app.
So it makes its own choice.
It always defaults to
the Apple Podcast app. Yeah.
Well, they've changed that lately for other apps like Mail. You can finally set your default Mail client and all these other things. So here's my question, or my challenge to anybody, to everybody who is listening and may have ideas about this. How do we pressure Apple to change this?
Wow, this is very interesting, because I think it's Cridlin who always says, Sam Sethi says that Apple's podcast app is the Internet Explorer of podcast apps.
Yeah.
And now they are literally acting like Microsoft, because one of the core issues with Microsoft is they were locking you in to Internet Explorer. Yeah. And so now Apple is literally segregating and locking everybody into their Internet Explorer podcast app, yet other apps, they do allow this to happen. So that's anti-competitive, and I'm taking them down.
Yeah, how do we do it? How do we take them down?
Lawsuit. We need a lawyer to write a letter and threaten them.
Cool.
Yeah. I think Martin has some experience with them. Martin, can you write this letter for us? Yeah, you have their lawyer's number, don't you?
He does. He doesn't want to use that number, though.
Well, this is something James might do. You know, it's like this is anti-competitive, and I don't know all the details, but if you know, they can have, sort of, they can do whatever they want, but if they're opening up other things and there's a clear market for other podcast apps, I think there's precedent with the Microsoft case. I may be wrong, but it feels like there's precedent. Jurisprudence.
I'm serious about this.
I know. But then someone over there listens to this. You know,
Apple.
Yeah. Someone over at Apple listens to this. Come on, Apple. Come on. I have so much respect for Apple in general, but man, it's really waning.
Well, I mean, if you don't want to... Look, Apple, if you don't want to allow...
No, let's just... Spotify, hold on a second. Tim, listen up. Okay, Dave, I got his attention.
Okay. I'm doing pray hands right now, so this is really important.
Don't worry, Tim is too.
Yeah, he is. He never stops. That's all he does all day. We need... like, if the problem is you don't want people setting Spotify as their default podcast app... Then just exclude them and let everybody else go. That's fine.
Yeah, there's no lawsuit there.
Yeah, no lawsuit. You don't have to say it out loud. Seriously, this is
because... But why would they care? This is an issue now. Why? There's no reason for them to care. Because
make any money off that anyway.
Exactly. As long as, you know, and for subscriptions. Oh, yeah, you're so worried about the revenue loss from your podcast subscriptions. Come on. Don't be douches.
I bet you they don't make $200,000 a year.
It costs them money. It's a loss leader for sure.
Yeah.
And so, most of that money is by them not using Podping and killing the climate. You're worse than China with your aggregators.
Yeah, you are. There's for every to put this into New York Times Bitcoin terminology, every podcast that's polled by Apple is enough energy to heat 4,000 homes for a month.
No. Every podcast that is, what was it? What do you say? Polled by Apple? No.
Yeah.
Polled by Apple.
Every episode published. Yeah,
every episode, yes. Published and polled by Apple kills a puppy.
It does, yes. And they're so cute.
Apple is the Fauci of podcast systems.
Every new episode published and consumed by Apple puts a beagle's head in a bag.
That's right. And then tightens it.
Yeah.
Suffocates it. So stop that, Apple.
It's horrible.
Okay. Watch this make a difference. Tim likes dogs.
He does.
So.
Yep. I've got Podpink stuff, but I think we need to wait for next week. I got to go back to work.
Okay. Dave, I know that you're in the middle of all the coding stuff. Do you have time to hang around with me and set up this social thing? Yeah. Or do you need to get back to work and we can do it later if that's easier for you? But then I just have to delay publishing and then Martin gets angry. And
No, I can stick around for a minute and do it.
Yeah. Okay. All right, everybody. That'll do it for today for Podcasting 2.0. Thank you very much for joining the board meeting. We'll be back on Friday to bring you more of the Index, the Namespace, and the Social. See you then, everybody.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Yes, boost.
Go podcasting!
Boost!